Well, good morning. Today marks the beginning of not only November in the life of our church, but also stewardship season, which is also known as everyone's favorite time of year, right? If you're a visitor with us today, I have to apologize up front. We as a church don't talk about money every week, but actually this month of November, for 4 weeks, we will be talking about God's gifts to us and how we use them, in particular, our finances. It turns out that Jesus has quite a bit to say about the topic of faith and finances, more than you'd think. In fact, it's Jesus' favorite thing to talk about other than the kingdom of God. He's constantly talking about money, treasure, debts, investments, and wealth throughout the scriptures. This month, we're going to have a series of sermons, four sermons that will look at this topic in four different ways. Today, we'll talk about money and discipleship, how money is an act of our spiritual growing with God. Next week, we'll talk about money as outreach outreach and mission, how giving faithfully leads to outreach and mission. Third, we'll be talking about bricks and mortar, the money we give and how it goes to keeping the lights on and the heat. It's not our favorite topic, but it's part of where our money goes. Finally, we'll talk about money and financial giving as a spiritual act of worship. So these are four different ways we as a church will learn what God has to say to us about our money and how we use it. The basic Christian teaching about money, possessions, and all the stuff we've got is this. It all belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. That's what stewardship really means, that God has graciously given us everything we have, our bodies and the ability to work, our minds and the ability to think, our hearts and the ability to love, and our money, our finances, and our ability to give back and share. Martin Luther once said that there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. That can be the hardest one of all, can't it? So this is what stewardship means, that everything we have belongs to God, and we're given the chance to be stewards of it, to take care of it, use it, enjoy it, take care of our families, live lives of meaning. But as stewards, we're also called on to give back to God, give back to the things God cares about. Theologian Richard Foster writes that when we are aware of God's ownership, it frees us from a possessive and anxious spirit. When we're aware that God owns it all, it frees us from an anxious or possessive spirit. So that's what we're going to be talking about this month and the weeks ahead. And as we begin today, will you pray with me? Let's pray. Our Lord and God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. The scripture passage that we read today is from Matthew chapter 6. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the place where Jesus gives his most important teachings in the Bible. And Jesus begins this way. He says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them." He's introducing a section of teaching about piety, or the Greek word here is dikaiosune, which really is righteousness, act of righteousness. Another way to translate that same word is justice, act of justice. If you read the Bible in Spanish, this is the way it's always translated, justicia. In English, we have piety or even righteousness. So he says, when you do these acts of righteousness, of piety, or of justice, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't make a big show. Instead, as you grow in your faith, take on these spiritual practices. He lists them: giving, praying, fasting, and others. And make them about growing in your life with Christ, not about receiving applause, being recognized, wowing anyone who might know what you're up to. Jesus is teaching us something about piety, the way we live into our spirituality. I spoke with a Korean pastor this week who was visiting, and he told me about his church back in Korea. And he told me they have a prayer meeting every morning. Here at PPC, we have a Wednesday morning prayer meeting. You're all invited to come. But there, they have a prayer meeting every single morning. And it's before they go to work, they always gather to pray. They don't meet at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. They don't meet at 6 a.m. They meet at 5 a.m. every morning. And every day, the pastor is there with them, leading the prayers, sharing a devotional message. This is piety. This is dikaiosune. This is the time when I'm glad you guys aren't like that, because that would be, it's really early. But we as followers of Christ, we are called to take on these acts of righteousness, dikaiosune, these practices of our faith. These might include, some of them are familiar to you, they might include regular worship, prayer, Bible study, fasting, acts of service, spiritual journeying, and others. In this passage today, Jesus lists just three of them that he considers to be important for our spiritual lives: giving alms to the poor, praying, and fasting. The point of these Christian practices, as we take them on, as Dallas Willard, who's a professor of philosophy and an author, points out, the point of all this is the transformation of the total state of our soul. It is the renewal of the whole person, starting on the inside. Acts of piety, like prayer, worship, and study, are meant to renew us from the inside out and bring us closer to God. Notice that in the section that we read today, Jesus does not say, if you give alms, or if you pray, or if you fast. He says, when you give alms, and when you pray. The Greek word there is not a conditional, it's a mandate. It's not a conditional as in, well, if I get around to it, or if I remember, or if the preacher happens to speak to me, if he happens to shame me or persuade me. Jesus doesn't say if. Jesus says when. When you pray, when you fast, and number one on Jesus' list is when you give. The amazing thing to me about Jesus, about this passage, is that Jesus is including regular, generous, financial giving as part of a spiritual life, not out there in the physical, inside in the spiritual. It's like he's saying that money and giving is really a spiritual matter. This is really a key theme in Jesus' teaching throughout Scripture. It's that how we deal with money and finance is not an external issue, but internal and spiritual. Remember, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your money and your heart are related. My friend Gerson Annunciacion, who many of you know, is the pastor of Christ is Life Presbyterian Church in Fall River, tells this story of the time when he first arrived in the U.S. about 6 years ago from Brazil to pastor this immigrant congregation. And they all speak Portuguese in his church, but he started learning English so he could communicate here in America. And he was delighted to learn that many words in Portuguese actually have cognates in English, words that sound alike in both languages. Makes it easier to learn. Visitar is to visit. Dançar is to dance. Declarar is to declare. Investigar is to investigate. You get the idea. Unfortunately for Gerson, he didn't realize that there are other words that seem like they're the same, but they aren't. These are called false cognates. A great example of this would be pretender. Pretender. In Portuguese, it means to intend to plan to desire to. Pretender. So one day, Gerson arrived at a meeting of church officials. This was a group of pastors and churches who were financially supporting his ministry, and they wanted to hear what he had been up to. So he told them, he said, how's it going, Gerson? He said, it's going great. My ministry is going really well. I pretend to lead Bible study. I pretend to visit people in the hospital. I pretend to pray. Silence. Imagine if somebody you knew found out you're a Christian and wanted to talk to you about it. So you got together and they said, so you're a Christian. Do you go to church? Well, I pretend to go to church. Do you pray? I pretend to pray. Do you read the Bible? I pretend to read the Bible. What a strange impression this would leave. What kind of Christian is this? But now imagine that the question wasn't about those spiritual practices, prayer, study, worship, but about another spiritual practice, financial giving. Oh, you're a Christian. Do you give regularly? It would be equally strange for a follower of Christ to respond, I pretend to give. I pretend to put my money where I say my heart is. Jesus says, when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not make a big show of it so that others will look at you and say, wow. Instead, give in a quiet way. But this is a problem, I think. This is an issue that we need to talk about today, because when we give in secret, nobody knows what we give, what you put in the plate, what you make, what you write on a pledge card. Pastor Chris and I don't know. People down the row don't know unless they look over your shoulder. This is between you and God. It's very difficult to be accountable in your giving when there's nobody who knows what's going on. It's difficult to be accountable in giving faithfully when nobody else knows or holds you up to it. And I'm talking to you today as your pastor, not as your banker or your financial advisor or your money market manager. I don't know anything about that. I don't know much about finance. But what I know, I pass on to you. And that's what Jesus says in Scripture, that your money is related to your heart. It's a spiritual issue. It's part of how we grow with God. So how are we going to be able to grow with God in the spiritual act of giving? I mean, the truth is that everyone misses a Sunday now and then. Maybe you're off on vacation. Maybe you're away traveling. Maybe you heard it was Stewardship Sunday, and so you stayed away. But for whatever reason, we're not all here every Sunday. And that's okay. But the problem comes when we want to respond to Jesus' call to faithfully, consistently give. Because a week you're away, you're not here to give. You're not consistently giving. Jesus said, when, not if. Or maybe some days you are here, but you forget your checkbook, or you're still waiting on a check to cash, a paycheck. Maybe you don't have time to stop off at the bank. There are financial reasons, real reasons. And you might say, well, I'll put into this collection plate what's in my pocket, just something that I have on me. And that's okay for a week or two, but before you know it, you're behind. Before you know it, you're doing that all the time. Before you know it, you are no longer consistently, generously giving. You didn't mean to, but without some kind of accountability, it's easy to slip away. It just happens. You might remember the story of those two old dollar bills who were retired from circulation. Do you know it? They're sitting in that retirement home over at the Treasury talking about their lives. One was a $1 bill and one was a $100 bill. And the $100 bill sat back and said, well, I've had a good life, been a lot of places, a lot of nice vacations. Yes, I've been to restaurants, I've been to high-end stores buying fancy clothes, and it's been great. The $1 bill said, well, I've never been to any of those kind of places. For me, it was always church, 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 every week church. And the $100 bill turned to him and said, now what's church? Here's the point that I'm trying to make today. 3 points, right? First of all, everything belongs to God. It's given to us to be good stewards of, including giving back to God's work. Number two, how we use our money is related to our heart. This is a spiritual issue, a discipleship issue. And number three, we are called to be consistent, generous financial givers. It's not when, it's not if, it's when. The best way that I know to keep myself on track with financial giving is to make a pledge to the church. The pledge is a way of planning your finances out for the year, for the month, for the week, so that even if you're away, even if you lose track, even if you fall behind a little bit, you'll have something to be accountable to, something to know what you're aiming for. At the end of the year, you'll know, did I give consistently? At the end of the year, the church will know what we are expecting to come in for the ministry that we are planning to do. Not pretending to do, actually doing. So, a few weeks from now, at the end of this month, we will have a chance as a congregation to bring forward pledges for the year ahead. Pledges are like educated guesses. It's a way of saying, this is what I think I will earn, and this is the portion of that that I will set aside for the work of the Lord. It's a spiritual practice. It's hard to do. When you first sit down to pray, there's a lot of silence. You're not quite sure what to do. But the more you do it, the more it becomes routine, easier, natural. The first time you sit down to write out a check for that amount, it can be hard to do. But the more you do it, week by week, the easier it is, the more natural it becomes, and the growth that you will experience spiritually through this action. There are big things that our money can do for the kingdom of God. Some of them will be done in our own lives, in the ways we spend them on ourselves and the people we care for. Other things will be done for the kingdom of God through our faithful financial giving into a church congregation, which is a witness to the world to do the ministry in this community and this city. Consider it an act of discipleship, to learn to trust Jesus in all areas of your life, even in finance. So I encourage you just to think about this today. Go home, think it over, pray it over, talk to a husband or a wife, meditate on it, maybe even as you come forward today for communion. This communion, which we will share in a few minutes here, is a sacrament. It's an outward sign of an inward reality. And our giving is something like that. It's an outward sign. It's a way of enacting our faith, literally putting our finances and our financial lives in God's hands, trusting that God will be faithful to us. I pray that we as a congregation and each of you individually may grow in trusting God with your finances this month ahead. We grow with God in worship, in prayer, in study, in fasting, in service to others, in so many ways. And truly, I tell you, we grow in our relationship with God through faithful financial giving.